Seated. Sermon this morning comes from Amos chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Please join me there. Amos chapter 5, starting with verse 1. Hear this word, which I take up for you as a dirge, O house of Israel. She has fallen. She will not rise again, the virgin Israel. She lies neglected on her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus says the Lord God, the city which goes forth 1,000 strong will have 100 left. And the one which goes forth 100 strong will have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me that you may live, but do not resort to Bethel, and do not come to Gilgal, nor cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal will certainly go into captivity, and Bethel will come to trouble. Seek the Lord that you may live, or he will break forth like a fire, O house of Joseph, and it will consume with none to quench it for Bethel. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now as we seek you in your word. God, please aid us by your Spirit. And we will understand mysteries from of old. And that your great truth will be applied to our hearts and our minds like never before. Lord, cause us by your Spirit now to grow in grace and to grow in knowledge, so that you will be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I recently heard a couple talking on the radio, and they were talking about relationships, and they were talking about the differences between men and women, and they began to talk about the idea that a man loves a challenge. And I thought, yeah, that's true. And I thought about all the things that I looked at that were challenging, and I would see things to climb, and I would think, that would be a challenge. And I would set plans, and I would climb these things. Or I would just long for a friend to tell me that I couldn't do something, and I would go do my best to make it happen. And then after they talked for a little while about men loving a challenge, they altered the statement and said, men love a challenge that they can overcome. And I hated that idea. It just set up this picture that we're only going to try if we think we can do it. I've noticed in my own life that I like chores and tasks that I can accomplish in 5 minutes, and they look fantastic. And everyone says, wow. Other than that, I would just rather leave it be. Well, we're given this command here, and we see the church in bad shape here in Israel. We've talked about where they are, the northern kingdom, and they've had their false worship, and they've had very, very dark times in their sin. And here, this dark song is being sung for them. A lament, as if it were at a funeral. People are standing around a corpse or standing around a grave. And you can imagine a cave going into the depths and darkness. And this body is just ready to be carted off into the shadow. Sometimes we look at our own lives. We see our own shadows. We see the sin in our lives. We see the pain that we have faced. We see the people that have come against us. And we think, well, that's it for me. Sing the dirge. Cart me off into the grave. But as wicked as Israel has been, God still says to them, seek me. seek me and live. Now some of us, we might look at this and think, well, that's an impossible task. I've sought Him. I haven't found Him. It's gone poorly for me. I'm still in dark places. But we are promised, you are promised in Scripture, that when you seek Him with all your heart, you will indeed find Him. And that is a beautiful truth for any of us who think we are overcome. Any of us who think that we are alone or destined to be alone. Any of us who think that we are undone. You're told, you are promised. If you seek Him, you will find Him. Now, the whole context of the book of Amos, you may remember that the series is called God Roars. He roars with an urgency for us. Sometimes we shout, and it's not necessarily shouting because we're angry, but sometimes we shout out of urgency. If a child's running in the street, we shout with urgency. Well, God roars. God roars with an urgency, saying, come and seek me. You will find me. Come now and be filled. So the call this morning is as simple as that passage. Seek Him. Seek Him and live. Sometimes we look at our lives and we imagine that we're living. But sometimes in those quiet moments, we see the reality that we're only going through the motions. And that we're not really alive at all. But in Christ Jesus, when He sought, we find Him and we have that true life. Our first step is from verse 1. And that is, hear this word. It is amazing that the simplest things in life are the things that we neglect and the things that we ignore. Some of us, simple tasks to care for ourselves. Simple tasks to take care of ourselves. I had a friend when I had my own house, and they came over and they were helping me clean up at one point. And they said, Ramsey, do you not understand if you would just rinse your dish before you set it in the sink, things would be so much easier. And there we stood and we scrubbed. So simple that we neglect it. But to turn to Him and His Word. Do you have to go on a great quest to find a Bible? Is it some great chore to unlock it, to open it? Is there some mission that you would have to go on? Is it going to cause you some great pain or some great distress? Is it going to drain your bank accounts? All these things that we pour our money into, all these exercise programs or diet programs, all these things, and all we have to do is stop eating so much and move more. Here, the idea is that reality and truth are here as close as the pages of the Bible. For you to be built and cared for you to seek Him. And there is life there. Real life. True life. Truth in the Scripture deeper than you could ever swim to the bottom of. A cave deeper than you could ever explore to the bottom of. Riches so amazing, like a smorgasbord that you could never even sample everything on there. And it's all true life. It's all true nourishment for your soul. See, the reality is, and as we see this in Scripture, that your soul thirsts. Your soul is thirsty. Instead of taking the truth, we go and we dig for ourselves cisterns that will not hold water. It's as simple as opening your Bible and studying it. I was talking to a man recently when we were traveling, and he was explaining working with these students, Chinese students that are at a university there. And he says, you put one Bible verse before them, and he explained that they would sit and they would stare at one verse for 5 minutes. just looking at every word and taking every word apart. And I'll tell you, my system of trying to read through the Bible in a year, I never stare at one passage for 5 minutes. But we would all greatly benefit from giving the Word that much attention. Our next step also comes from verse 1. Our next step is see your sin as the tragedy that it is. Hear this word, Amos 5:1. Hear this word, which I take up for you as a dirge, O house of Israel. It's interesting that there are different tunes and different sounds that strike us in different ways. There are different songs of our heart that came about at different points in our lives. Oftentimes it's when we had close friends or we had tight friends and we would travel and we would listen to songs together. We might even sing together. Different things that have different meaning for us and they're still deeply ingrained in our hearts. Well, this idea of a dirge. It's the idea of a funeral. It's the idea of people mourning. The idea of people in sorrow. The idea of the valley of the shadow of death. He says, listen to this that I take up for you. It gives us the truth and the reality that sin, and when we think about it correctly, we see sin as the pathway of death. We have sin here, and we follow its course, and brings us to the grave. Place of shadow, of darkness, of cold, cold to the bone, cold all the way through. And so often we forget those commandments that have been given to us, set up for us, for life, for the nation, for life, for the world, for life. Apart from that word and apart from that truth, really is that song of the grave, of death, of misery, and of sorrow. There's a movie that I had enjoyed, and I had enjoyed it for different reasons, and a part of it was the starkness, and there was reality mixed in with fantasy, but in a part of the darkness to the movie, the children had a stepfather who was violent and abusive. And this movie did a good job of portraying the sickness of the scene. And the man would come home, and when he came home, he would go into the garage sometime. And they knew if he went into the garage, that was a bad sign, because he had his own refrigerator in there full of beer. And when he drank, he became violent. And he also had a record that he would put on. So that he would go in and he would put on this record and play this song. And that song became for them this dark, heavy thing. When they heard it, they would curl up in their beds and they would cover their ears. Our sin is that song. That song is the soundtrack to each and every one of our sins. There's a misery to it. There's a shame to it. There is a death to it. And this brings us to our next move. That devastation chases sin. Verse 2. She has fallen. She will not rise again. The virgin Israel, she lies neglected on her land. There is none to raise her up. Sin seems sweet. It's advertised on television as something sweet. Something fun. Something fulfilling. It's advertised in movies. Something sweet. Something fun. Something fulfilling. It's advertised by all the liars and fools around us. By something lovely. Something sweet. Something fulfilling. And frankly, it's like looking at a big bowl of ice cream. We don't realize what it's ultimately going to do to us. It's just going to hurt us. It's just going to hurt us more and more. And that there is no escaping the devastation that comes with sin. There are the natural consequences that play out from it. Many of us know that. Many of us have experienced the pain. I've been with a number of our brothers and sisters who have lamented the sins and the pains that are on their children because they see the overflow of their sin. They see the shockwave. They see the devastation that even continues for generations. This is why sin is nothing to play with. It's something to be thrown away. It's something to be run from. It's something to be escaped from. Now our next step. We see that, well, we could really even just stop almost now. Our next step is to see that imagined strength will be revealed as pure fantasy. Amos 5:3. For thus says the Lord, the city which goes forth 1,000 strong will have 100 left. And the one which goes forth 100 strong will have 10 left to the house of Israel. See, we look at ourselves and we imagine sin as something we can handle. Just this little bit, we think. I can handle it. I can dabble in just this far. I can handle it. I won't slip. I won't go any further. It's not that big of a deal. But we see here that imagined strength, even Israel going forth 1,000 strong, 1,000 people marching forward, is going to be wiped away. 90% of them are going to be wiped away like nothing. See, you haven't been equipped to dabble in sin. You haven't been made for that. Never are we told, go ahead and just sin a little bit. It'll be okay. We're told to flee it. To flee from it. We see in verse 9, the pain that comes. It is he who flashes forth with destruction upon the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. The strongest place. Strongest place. It's not a place for sin. Our next step is do not cling to that which will not save or satisfy. Verse 5 of Amos 5. Do not resort to Bethel and do not come to Gilgal. Do not cross over to Beersheba. For Gilgal will certainly go into captivity and Bethel will come to trouble. See this idea here, part of the idea with Bethel is a false worship. We all struggle with false worship. You should all struggle with false worship is the reality. That we could come in here and we could be just trying to cater to ourselves and cater to our own desires. And we've heard people talk that way. I didn't really get anything out of worship today. Or I didn't really enjoy the sermon today. The singing was particularly bad today. I didn't like it. Worship isn't that. It's not something that we're giving to ourselves. It is specifically worship that we are giving to God. So this is one of those things that doesn't save. It's one of those things that doesn't satisfy. We also see the idea of catering to our own needs or catering to our own wishes and the idea of loving emptiness. And life will be that. In sin, it'll be empty. And it won't be a calm empty. It will not be a gentle empty. It will not be a comfortable empty. It will be pain. It will be pain and hardship. And it will be sorrow. Now we'll look at verses 4 and verses 6. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me that you may live. And verse 6, seek the Lord that you may live. Or he will break forth like a fire, O house of Joseph, and it will consume with none to quench it for Bethel. As we look at who God really is,
We know He's going to do what's right.
And when we see that what is right is to punish sin, we know that that will be the reality. How could it be anything else? Can we look at our nation and imagine that we can keep killing babies and it's going to be okay? Can we look at our nation and imagine that we can continue to condone every form of sin that people will give themselves over to, and it's going to be okay? We cannot. Can you look at your own heart and imagine that you can keep giving yourself to sin and it will be okay? What about your sin is it that you love? What is it that you enjoy so much? And the question then will be, in what way are you replacing Christ with it? Because it's from that reality and it's from that understanding that that's exactly what we're doing with our sin. We're replacing Christ. From there we can turn to Him. That joy that you need, that comfort that you need, that peace that you need, that acceptance that you need. And it's unlikely that I'm a stranger to any of the sins that you face. Any of the places that your heart would run to. I myself, this week, found myself depressed, and next I found myself at Orms. And I'm not any better off for it. I'm not any closer to Christ because of it. You see, but He says, seek Me. Seek Me. Again, the pain in your life is there so that you'll seek Him. The depression is there so that you'll seek Him. The tensions, the sorrows, the loss, the hardship. It's there to seek Him. And when you're with Him then, it is that sweetness that endures to eternal life. It's not that donut that I'll have to work for months to get rid of now. But it's that eternal peace. Eternal blessing, eternal comfort, and that fellowship with the eternal God. So God calls out, seek Me and live. Pray with me. Our Father, thank You. Thank You that You are here to be found. You dwell in our midst even now. Your truth is available to every single one of us. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us for seeking comfort in everything else, even darkness and shadow. Oh God, and turn Your face towards us now as we seek You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.